Dave was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and the other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide, and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face, and his neck was well formed and beautiful like a conch shell.
Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A respectable personality is described beginning with the legs, and this honored system is observed here with Shukadeva Goswami. He was only 16 years of age. A person is honored for his achievements and not for advanced age. A person can be older by experience and not by age. Sri Shukadeva Goswami, who is described herein as the son of Vyasadeva, was by his knowledge more experienced than all the sages present there, although he was only 16 years old.
Tam divas jyasta varsham sukumarapara krura bahu angsakapola gatram charu ayatak shonasya tulyakarana subru ananam Kambu Sujatakantam. Sujatakantam, his neck, like a conch shell. That means conch shell has lines. So, three lines. Sometimes it's described that great personalities are and dvi ashta, ashta means eight, janmashtami, and dvi means two, so dvi ashta, six, two times eight, 16. Sometimes they use the word shodasha also, it means 16. Shodasha. Also 16. So two ways. We only have one way of saying 16. Or they have the word score. Huh? Score means eight also, isn't it? Four score and what is it? Who knows? Government. Four score and 12 years before. Four score and what? Four score and 10 years ago. That's a famous, what is it, Lincoln? Gettysburg Address. So we also have similar idea. Score and Asta, eight. Dvi Asta, two score. Varsha. And 16 years old. 16 years old, but the whole time he spent in the womb. That's very unusual. For several reasons. One is, how could he live in there? The body is already developed. Well, he was not an ordinary person. He was a self-realized soul. He was already liberated. So for him, it didn't matter where he lived. He wasn't attached to any kind of a comfortable living place. He was so afraid of bad association that he didn't want to come out. We should take a lesson from this. We're quite eager to have bad association, but he was not eager at all to have bad association. He would rather stay in his mother's womb forever than to have bad association. Vyasadeva asked him to come out, and he indicated that he didn't want to come out. He was afraid. He was afraid he'd fall down. So Vyasadeva told him, "You won't fall down." But he didn't believe his father because his father was a householder. So Vyasadeva had to go to Dwarka and ask Krishna to come. Krishna personally came to Vyasadeva's hut, his thatched cottage, and he spoke to Shukadeva. He said, "That's all right, you can come out, you won't fall down." So he came out, and he didn't fall down. Took sannyas immediately. But interestingly enough, his father was running after him. Because generally the father, he wants the son to become a householder. It's just the nature. Because he doesn't want the son to go away, he wants the son to stay home in his house. And he wants to enjoy raising the child. This is really strange that the son, already they had waited with great expectation for 16 years, that finally the son will come out. Then he came out, he took sannyas immediately. You can just imagine, as a householder, what he would think. So he ran after him. He was running. So I guess we're going to read about that. So I won't tell the whole story. Anyway, he was fully grown. His body was formed already. Point is that it doesn't make any difference how old someone is. Someone may be very old, but he may be a fool. Whereas someone like Shukadeva Goswami was young, but he was the most advanced, self-realized. Therefore, we judge on the basis of one's achievements. And the achievements are how much one has understood the science of Krishna consciousness. It is said that kiba vipra kiba nyase shudra kene noy jay krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. So krishna tattva veta means one who knows the science of Krishna. He is the guru. It doesn't matter whether he's brahmacharya or grihastha or vanaprastha sannyasi or brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, that doesn't matter. What matters is Krishna veta, Krishna tattva veta, whether he knows Krishna tattva, the truth about Krishna. If one knows the truth about Krishna, he knows everything. Yasmin vigyate sarvam etam vigyatam bhavati. What is there further to be known? If he knows Krishna. If he knows Krishna, it means he understands the universal form, because how can you know Krishna without knowing Bhagavad Gita? It's not possible. Bhagavad Gita is the beginning, so you can't. No one can know Krishna if he doesn't know Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita means it includes the universal form, Vishvarupa. If he understands universal form, he knows that the universal form is the energy or the material body of the Lord. It's a kind of a imaginative material form of the Lord for the philosophers. He'll know from Bhagavad Gita about the soul, about devotional service, about change of body, about the spiritual world. He'll know about the immaterial energy and the spiritual energy. It's such an amazing thing that all the biggest brains in the world don't even understand that there's another energy besides the material energy. They think it's all just matter. They think the life force is a combination of matter. Isn't that amazing? They don't know that there's another force, that there's another energy. They don't believe in the soul. So that means, isn't it Christians all believe in the soul? Every Christian, right? I mean, if he's a bona fide Christian, he has to believe in the soul. He can't say, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the soul. That's all right, but at least they believe in it. And they believe that it's something other than matter. So how can any Christian be a scientist, or Jew, or Islam, or Hindu? So that means that all the scientists have to be atheists, because according to their religion, they all believe in the soul. So just see what we're dealing with. That's why the sides they're taking there. taking their corners. One group is saying we believe in science, and the other is saying intelligent design. So there is an argument going on between the theists and the atheists. That's good. That's good that there's some argument. The theists will come out victorious, always. Good is never overcome by evil. But the problem is that even the so-called theists, although they may have some theoretical knowledge, practical knowledge, when it comes down to that, they're right there sitting next to the atheists in the bar and in the grill, the bar and grill shop. So atheists, theists, they come together when it comes to practical sinful activities. They're all very much united on that point of sense gratification. Nunam pramatakuru te vikarma. Vikarma, when it comes to vikarma, everybody's together. They're all agreeable. Therefore, only the Krishna consciousness movement can change things around. You cannot depend on the intelligent design party to solve the situation, because even if they say there's intelligent design, they don't use any intelligence themselves. Intelligent design, that's nice, but they don't use any intelligence in their lifestyle. And they don't use any intelligence. If the designer is intelligent, what does he look like? Oh, he has no form. Well, why? That's not intelligent. Why should he design everything else with beautiful form, but he has no form? Wouldn't you think if he's such an intelligent designer, he would design his own form beautifully? Doesn't it make sense? So what kind of logic is that? He's the intelligent designer, makes everything beautiful, but he has no form. Even we have form. But poor intelligent designer, he was so unintelligent, he forgot to design his own form. So these type of illogical, it's not philosophy. Prabhupada said, this is I think one of his most brilliant, it's hard to say which is the most brilliant because everything Prabhupada said was brilliant, but this one really stands out as brilliant, that philosophy without religion or without bhakti is simply mental speculation. And religion without philosophy is sentiment or fanaticism. Isn't it? We can see that exactly. We have one group that's very sentimental. We believe in God, but he has no form. And the other group, fanatically, we believe in our God, and if you don't do it our way, then we take the sword. So that's because there's no philosophy. They say Krishna is not God. How is it that Krishna is not God? If you say he's not God, you must present who the real God is then. Show us. You say Krishna is not God. All right, show us God then. And prove that Krishna is not him. But they don't show any God. And if you ask them, what does God look like? They say, we don't know. He has no form. So then if you don't know, how can you be sure he's not Krishna? Don't you think he would be beautiful, God? I spoke once with I told you this before, rabbi in Jerusalem. And we were talking. I was telling them about Krishna, beautiful bluish form. And he said, actually, in our scriptures also, God is described as being beautiful blue color. So, but they don't believe it. God is beyond the conception of the material senses. Therefore, one cannot understand God just by logic or intelligence. Ataksa Krishna namadi na pavet graim indriyai sevan muki hi jiva do slayam eva spuratyata. It requires devotional service. Otherwise, the senses cannot understand the Supreme Absolute Truth. Therefore, devotional service is the only way. Sometimes they ask Prabhupada, do you think that your way is the only way? Yes, it's the only way. And they become very frightened. Oh, now he's sectarian. He's saying his is the only way. But it's not sectarian, because the only way is to surrender to Krishna. So if someone else says surrender to Krishna, then that's the same way. It's not different. You can't say, I surrender to Krishna through jnana, because that's not surrender. Krishna doesn't accept that. Krishna says, bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvata. He doesn't say by jnana. He says by bhakti. Bhakti is surrender. Jnana is not surrender, because he's still holding on to his mental speculation. He's not surrendering his mind or his intelligence. He may surrender his body. Alright, I'll bow down and do some puja, but I won't surrender my intelligence. Any questions? You had your hand up. Yeah.
People in this time they usually make gods from something else. They make gods from some persons or from somebody.
From what?
From some person, like Christianity. Usually they tell that Jesus is God. Yes.
Uh-huh.
You know. They cannot take then this argument that we know who is God.
Everyone's, yes, the Hindus also, they say demigods are God. Then they say, I'm God, you're God, everyone's God. Yes. The problem is that because they don't have a clear conception of who God is, then, and also then someone else comes along and says, I'm Avatar. I'm God. I was Rama. I remember when I joined this movement at that time, there was a very popular, someone was saying, I was Rama and now I'm Krishna. Before I was Rama, before I was Rama, then I was Krishna, and now I'm somebody else. I won't even mention their name to defile our
establishment.
Whatever. But the point is, because people don't know who God actually is, then someone can come along and cheat them and say, I'm God. Yes, question?
I'm not sure where it's from though, but how can you surrender to Krishna if you do not praise all others?
We do praise all others for what they deserve. We praise Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, that all living entities are his parts and parcels. And they're his, they're in quality one with him. So we praise him for that you have the qualities. We say, you have the qualities. It is said that one spirit soul is more brilliant than thousands of suns. That's praise. Here we see the sun coming in the window. And one soul is more brilliant than thousands of suns. That's quite a praiseworthy statement. But now, that poor, brilliant living entity is covered by ignorance and lust and greed in the form of this body. So we can't praise him the way he's behaving now. He's behaving like a dog or a hog. But by telling him that he's behaving like a dog or a hog, we can try to rescue him from that ignorance and bring him to his original status. Isn't that the best praise? Why should I flatter him by saying that you're a very intelligent man? Even we may flatter him first. Dante ni dayatri na kam parayor ni patya. Bahushatam kakushatam tadaham bravimi. Hey sarva sakala eva vihaya dura. By praise, I flatter him that falling down at his feet 100 times, I say, you're such a great personality, you're so intelligent, I have one favor to ask of you. Yes, what is it? What would you like? Just forget everything you've learned and read this book about Krishna. So that type of praise we give. Yes?
So, what does it mean then to be more humble than the lowly grasses?
It means, it's a good question. It means that I understand that I'm lower than the blade of grass. I really am. That I'm sinful, I'm wretched, I'm foolish, I'm unintelligent, I'm impure. I'm the lowest of the low. But I have to tell people what Krishna says. Because Krishna ordered me to do it. I'm not doing it on my own account. Krishna says, Yadam paramam guyam madbhaktesha vidhasiti. That I'm supposed to preach. Lord Chaitanya said, Jari daki tari kaha Krishna upadesh. Amara gyai guru hanatari. He says, become a guru. What can I do? I'm supposed to preach. I don't think I'm great, but I'm telling what Krishna said. I'm not, if I give my own philosophy, then I'm thinking I'm very intelligent. Then I'm not humble. But if I say what Krishna says, then I'm being humble. Yes. Krishna has given the order that we're supposed to preach His glories. We're supposed to repeat what He says. If I do it, then I'm humble. If I don't do it, I say, no, I'm too fallen. I'm too low to do it. But let's say I ask for some water. And I say, could you please bring me some water? And one person goes and brings me water. And then the other person, I say, could you bring me some water? And you say, no, I respect you too much to bring you the water. I'm too fallen. I'm too low. How can I touch your holy glass? Your glass is so holy, I can't even touch it. I can't even be in front of you. In fact, I'm leaving now. I'm too fallen to be even before you. So here, the poor person, he's asking for some water. He can't get the water from this one. He's too humble to bring water. The other one, he brings the water without any talking. Which one's more humble? What do you think? The one who brings the water is more humble. The other one, he's giving so many nice flowery words why he can't do it. Okay, well, if you can't bring some water, could you at least close the window? No, I'm too fallen. Don't you understand? I'm so fallen. I can't do anything for you, for Krishna. I can't do anything for God. I'm so fallen. I'm just lying here, resting, and sometimes I speak about how fallen I am. Yes, he is fallen, but the point is, the other one is more humble. He's not humble though. Fallen, but not humble. Because if he's humble, then he's not fallen.
Sometimes we see that people take from the scriptures only these things which they want to take it. You know, what to do with such consciousness.
This is called Ardha Kukuru Nyai, the logic of half a hen. One man, he had a chicken, a hen, was laying eggs. So he liked the eggs. He was making money from the eggs. But he didn't like the head because it was eating too much. So he decided to cut off the head and just keep the bottom part of the head. But the fool didn't realize when he cut off the head that he didn't get any more eggs. The bottom part doesn't produce when you cut the head off. So if you just take certain parts of the scriptures that you like and leave aside the other parts, you won't get anything. You get nothing. You have to also follow the parts you don't like. Said he had very sukumara, delicate pada legs. He started from the lotus feet, describing a worshipable personality, we start from the feet, generally in pictures, in illustrations. For example, the whole body of the spiritual master is given, because also including the feet. And similarly with Krishna, generally when we paint pictures of Krishna, you see in all of, in our books, isn't it? You see. But look, in all of our paintings, you see the feet of Krishna also shown there, generally speaking. So that's the, because we begin our worship from his lotus feet. That's the meditation. Also, when we offer arti, we offer first to his lotus feet the incense, the flame. Offer to the lotus feet, then to the knees, then to the waist, then to the face, and then like that. So this is the proper way of offering respect to the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.